Titans fall to the Bengals 20-16 today at Nissan Stadium. Welcome in to the postgame show. Chase McCabe in for Jonathan Hutton today alongside Chad Withrow, Outkick 360. And so much to get into. We're live at the Superbook Lounge at Margaritaville in the Landshark Bar and Grill here on the second floor. If you're out and about, come by, say hi, have a drink, watch some games. The afternoon games are on right now as Kansas City leads the Rams 7-0. But Chad, I'm gonna come off the top rope just to start.
Let's do it.
I don't think this was a great coaching day for Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, I don't. It's funny. I was having this conversation.
And he doesn't have
By
many
the way,
of those.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's
Thank
great
you so
having
much.
You here. We hope Jonathan Hutton gets well very soon and is back with us in our next NFL postgame show. And we love being here at Landshark Bar and Grill. Terrific setup. I was talking with our guy Sean here from the game when he walked in. First time seeing the setup here. Great 360 view of all the games at Landshark Bar and Grill. We'll keep you up to date with all the late afternoon games. We'll tell you about our sponsors here momentarily as well. I agree with you. Certainly not the best day for Mike Vrabel. Not a good day for Craig Aukerman, the special teams coach, once again. I thought that was a big story. Early on, the story was the first three punts for the Titans was a penalty on Cincinnati on their punt return team. And I'm thinking, boy, that's really bad special teams. And then the Titans end up losing the game on a special teams play where they hit the holder, which is a no-no in football. So I don't think it was a great day for Mike Vrabel. I think it's just, once again, another reminder that there are those that have great quarterbacks and those that have quarterbacks that have to play a certain style with a certain complementary cast of characters, and you have to win a certain way. And the Titans are simply that team. And I think Ryan Tannehill, honestly, has been even better since the ankle injury in a weird way. His numbers today were pretty good.
I don't blame him at all.
He had a productive day. Yeah, I mean, it's not – this is not on him. He was 22 for 34, 291, no touchdowns, no interceptions. The story in the playoff game a year ago, and we're going to reference it, even though the Titans don't want this to be a revenge game, it was. It was a chance at revenge, and they didn't get it done. We got some Bengals fans here. It's okay. You can celebrate. Yeah, it's fine. Congrats. Congrats on the win.
Let's hear the Houdet.
Yeah, the Bengals currently own the Titans. That's three in a row for Houdet. So congratulations to your Bengals. I think, though, it was a reminder once again that when the going got tough, Joe Burrow just threw the ball up for T. Higgins.
Yep.
And they went up and made a play. And, yes, there was a push-off on it, but, no, they never call it in the NFL. So it's not really a push-off on the play. And they score the touchdown that makes the biggest play of the game. And then the Titans with the huge special teams gaffe. Look, I think Tannehill's been improved since coming back. But for the second straight time, Cincinnati has completely stifled Derrick Henry. Did it in the playoff game in January a year ago. Did it again today. 38 yards for King Henry today. Today he was a prince, not a king.
Yep.
And not the good prince, the one that can play every instrument and perform anywhere. So for that reason, the Titans went down today. And I think it's a pretty simple formula as to how you beat the Titans. I think it's a pretty simple formula for how the Titans win today. Win the game, but today they didn't get it done because Derrick Henry couldn't get anything going.
No, and that was a big problem. And I thought that, you know, they would go through the air more. Now the wind didn't help that. You know, but Joe Burrow seemed to be okay at times, even though he threw for less yards than Ryan Tannehill did, 270, but attempted 37 passes, completed 22. But I keep looking at the inconsistencies of Todd Downing's offensive scheme. The fact that Treylon Burks, who is showing now he gets it, he belongs in this league, was only targeted six times, to me, is not enough. And there were a few times that I saw him open, I saw Robert Woods open, and Tannehill's going to the check down and taking the easy play. Again, I don't blame Tannehill for the loss necessarily, but I would like to see them use their playmakers more because I do think this team actually does have a few.
Well, and who do you trust on this team? And what I mean by that is you see Robert Woods open, you see Treylon Burks. Down the field, there's starting to be some trust gained between Tannehill and Treylon Burks. Saw it in the Packers game, saw it again today. Goes up, makes a big play, does sort of the basketball post-up move, and goes up and gets it. I thought Todd Downing early on, two of the first four plays of the game, offensively for the Titans, were brilliant play designs. One was a fake, typical Derrick Henry off-tackle play And they had Dontrell Hilliard moving out of the backfield, and it turned into sort of a speed option pitch to Hilliard for 5 or 6 yards. But I thought the design was really clever from Todd Downing. There was another play where it was a fake end around that led to a screen pass that I thought was really well designed. So, Chase, when you say this wasn't Mike Vrabel's best day, are you saying it, because of Todd Downing, it wasn't his best day? Or what decisions do you not like from
Vrabel? There's two in particular.
I want you to get specific here.
There are two in particular that I had issues with.
All right.
And one,
I'm going to mark both of them
down. I kind of had to review it myself, but the challenge was a bad challenge.
Yep.
I mean, it was a catch. Now, you could sit there at that point in the game and go, is it worth the look? Maybe. But
you're talking on the Trent Irvin play on the sideline.
But he lost a timeout on that. And, you know, you go back and you look at the review, it's pretty clear that it was a catch. So that's one. The second one was they're driving late in the fourth quarter. They settle for a field goal. I think that's a gettable play on fourth down. And the way that the offense had been moving the ball, I think he trusted his defense too much.
Yep.
Being a defensive-minded coach, that he's thinking, okay, I'll take the points here, and then I'll let the defense give me the ball back. Look, Burrow in those situations, that Bengals offense, even without Ja'Marr Chase, is still pretty good. I would have gone for it there. So those were two decisions in particular that I didn't agree with. Now, I'm a radio guy sitting here questioning the defending coach of the year. He has more good days than bad, but I thought those two decisions specifically were not very good.
I agree with you, and here's why I think you go for it in this situation. You have to get a stop regardless, right? If it's 20-13 or 20-16, your defense has to come on the field and get a stop. So if it's fourth, I think it was 5 or 6 at that point after the pickup on third down. So where you are on the field, you go for the 5 yards and the first down or 6 yards or whatever it was, and then they're still backed up relative to where they were going to be. You got to get the stop either way. Why not take that play in hand? And what I mean by that is you got one opportunity to pick up 5 or 6 yards. Do that, then you continue the chance to go down and score a touchdown and tie it. If you don't get it, you got to get the stop either way. But guess what? 20-16 kicking off with 6 minutes left or whatever it was, you've got to eventually get a stop.
Right.
So it changes the math on that, whether or not to go for it. I'm with you. They should have gone for it there. It was a bad challenge from a guy who's usually very good at the challenge, good at clock and game management with Mike Vrabel.
It was a panic challenge. D-Mace texted us and said, that's a panic challenge. I wouldn't have done that.
Yeah, and I trust Derek Mason on that when he says that. I just thought, if Derrick Henry can't do anything, and he had the one big screen pass that he fumbles into the end zone and Treylon Burks recovers for a touchdown. But when he can't get anything going, this is an offense that's challenged to score. And even without Ja'Marr Chase, Cincinnati's eventually going to put it in the end zone.
Right.
I mean, you can only – four of the first five series for Cincinnati today led to nothing. But eventually, the bow's going to break, and they're going to start scoring because of Joe Burrow. If you're stopping Derrick Henry, this is no knock at Ryan Tannehill. But Ryan Tannehill's not Joe Burrow.
No.
So you're not watching the game thinking, boy, eventually we're playing with fire because Tannehill and Burks or Tannehill and Woods or Tannehill and Austin Hooper are going to start connecting and this Titans offense is going to go down and score a touchdown. I never got that feeling today. Other than the one big play, even after the bomb to Burks, I'm watching that and saying, now go score a touchdown.
Right. You should have gotten
six. You need another play design because we saw this in the Broncos game. What did it take to score? It took a flea flicker. It took some trickery at times to get it going. I'm thinking, you got the bomb. Now what next?
Right.
Do you have a trick play here from the 25? How are you going to go and score? Because you can't score by traditional means if you can't line up, turn around, hand the ball to Derrick Henry, and he's going to have a big day. If that's not happening, they've got to get tricky with their play calling, and they ran out of tricks.
And the other thing too, Chad, is if Derrick Henry's not working, you have two speedy backs that I don't think you necessarily always know how to use. Now, we've seen Dontrell Hilliard score some touchdowns, and they've hit him on some screens. Hassan Haskins is starting to come into his own a little bit. But you're putting him out there, and it's almost like they're just there. They're just filling a spot, and you're not actually using them. So if you're going to, you know, not use Derrick Henry or Derrick Henry's not being effective, then draw something up for one of those guys and see what you can do, because we've seen that work earlier in the year.
Well, here's an example, and I don't know if this play was drawn up or just Joe Burrow making a play. Travion Williams, the speed back for Cincinnati. One of the biggest plays of the day, I think it was a 3rd and 19 or 3rd and 20. Burrow gets out of pressure, rolls right, and ends up finding him down the field for 25 yards and a first down pickup. And I'm thinking, well, there's a way to use a speedy running back. You thought he was a receiver on the play the way he made the play so easily, but that was Burrow making a play and them getting creative on how to use those speed backs down the field, something we really have not seen that much from the Titans. So, look, it's a frustrating day to be a Titans fan. I get it, because all you want in this game when your offense is so challenged to score touchdowns, especially when you have the missed field goal we'll get into, I'm sure, with the third kicker now for the Titans right before the half. But when you're so challenged to score touchdowns, all you want is the ball in the end with a chance to go win the game. And they had that. They had the stop. They had the field goal. And to have that catastrophic of a mistake, what is it Mike Vrabel always says? Don't do dumb bleep that hurts the team.
Yep.
And that's exactly what happened. That's how the Titans lost the game today in the very end. And that's, to me, that's the most frustrating and the biggest takeaway from all this was, as challenged as the Titans are on offense, they're against a playoff team in the AFC, one that came to Nashville and beat you in the playoffs a year ago. And you've got a chance to go down and win the game, and instead they run into the holder on a field goal.
Yep.
It's completely inexcusable.
Yep, can't do that. That was a dumb play. Mike Vrabel said afterwards that he didn't get an explanation from the referee, but he didn't really need one. So he knew that was a bad call. Speaking of calls, you can call in. Tell us your thoughts on the Titans' loss to the Bengals today, 615-737-1025. That's our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Bengals beat the Titans 20-16 at Nissan Stadium. We are up and running here on the post-game show. We welcome your calls. We'll continue to break this down. Coming up next on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
David, ever since the beginning of the season, you all have been really good at defending the run. Was it something that the Bengals were doing today, or was it just lack of execution on this defense?
You can use that word. I just think, we got to finish tackles. We got to rally to the ball, and we got to fit gaps, So we just got to be better as a whole. I can't really pinpoint what because I haven't watched film yet. But we got to be better as a whole on defense.
What do you think was the one thing that the defense could have done better today that would have probably given y'all a better result?
They could have done everything better. We could have done everything better.
Going up against Joe Burrow in the passing game, he's a dual threat quarterback, can go on the move. What is something that you all couldn't get done today that you've gotten done in the past that's had a little bit more success with some mobile quarterbacks?
I won't say he scrambled as much today. I don't want to say that. I think he got the ball out and his players made plays. We just got to, we got to make plays as well.
Are you confident that this defense can bounce back after a loss like this?
Very confident. We've been doing it all year. I don't know why I wouldn't be confident.
Absolutely. Thank you for your time, David.
That's David Long, Titans linebacker with Junie Riddle. Appreciate that, Junie, in the Titans locker room. Back here on the postgame show, Chase McCabe in for Jonathan Hutton today with Chad Withrow. We're live at the Superbook Lounge here at Margaritaville on Broadway, the Landshark Bar and Grill. The second floor, come see us. But got a great crowd here today, Chad, and you know what? We got to thank our sponsors.
Absolutely. First and foremost, thanks to the venue here, Landshark Bar and Grill in Margaritaville. Great specials right now. $3 off any appetizer. $20 special price for buckets of 5 of Landshark, Bud Light, or Mick Ultra. And, of course, our sponsors, Renter's Warehouse. Book your free home rental price analysis at renterswarehouse.com or give them a call at 615-398-9550. My guy Matt from Renter's Warehouse is here with a big crew right now. They were at the Titans game. Matt is smart enough to not run into the holder on the field goal that would get your team the ball back. And his entire team at Renter's Warehouse also smart enough to not run into the holder. They're going to get the job done for you, unlike Titans special team at the very end of the day today. Also a shout out to Rivers Ford. They've been doing business the right way for almost 40 years. They're going to treat their customers like family. Give them a call at 800-900-1000. It's been a fun home for us here, Chase. Welcome again. I'm going to welcome you in every segment.
Thank you very much.
With Hutton out. But terrific spot to watch all the games. We're here in the late afternoon watching that 3:30 window of games across the NFL. People have their phones out. They're doing some wagering on those apps on their phones. They're enjoying some apps. some appetizers also. So it's a great spot. So come see us after Titans home games.
Yeah, absolutely. Got some good games going on right now, Chad, as Chargers have taken the lead over the Cardinals 14-10 as they're late in the second quarter in that one. Raiders all over the Seahawks 21-13 right now. Rams trail the Chiefs 7-3. 49ers over the Saints 3-0 early in the second quarter. So those are the four games going on right now in the afternoon window. But we're talking Titans as the Titans fall to the Bengals 20-16. We welcome your calls at 615-737-1025 if you would like to react to that.
And if you're headed home, by the way, please give us a call. Let us know what you think. You know, I'm going back watching footage of it. I'm on my way down here for this post-game show at the end. I want to know what people think about that last play that doomed the Titans with the running into the holder and the personal foul that happened on that. Give us a call. What did you think about Todd Downing today? He's been the point of conversation for many reasons lately. We can discuss that. Chase came in with a hot take that this is not Mike Vrabel's best day. I would also agree. Never the best day in a loss, but some questionable decisions there. So give us a call, 615-737-1025, 737-1025. Let us know what you thought about the performance today. I'm also watching the Jags. You know, score in the last 15 seconds today against Baltimore. Go for two, get it. Then I see Justin Tucker attempt a 67-yard field goal. I'm watching this with Matt Ingeseth and his guys at Renner's Warehouse. And, Chase, I said it was almost like the moment in Indiana Jones' Temple of Doom when Indiana Jones tries to take the heart out of the guy. And the woman, I forget the character's name, but she's like, oh, my God, what is happening? When he's trying to do that. I was thinking that when they're putting Tucker on the film. Are they really going to attempt this from 67? I think he hit from 66 before, but he was a solid 4 or 5 yards short on the kick attempt. But the Jags now, you know, get a big win. I don't think the Titans are in any jeopardy in that division.
No.
And now that the Jags are 4-7, I'm not suddenly afraid of the Jags or anything like that. But my point is that's an opponent for the Titans they have yet to face. They get two games against them. The thought is you have three wins left, two against Jacksonville, one against Houston. You like your odds there. There are other games you can win. But I thought that was a nice rally late for Jacksonville in that game, a team that typically, you know, I bury pretty early in the fall.
I think that right there, Chad, is an example of just how crazy the NFL season has been.
Yeah.
That, you know, look.
In almost every NFL season, you're always going to get every Sunday just two or three outcomes that's just wild.
I feel like this year is a little wilder than maybe it has been in years past. I mean, I still think the good teams are going to rise to the top. You know, you're going to have the Buffaloes and the Kansas Cities, and obviously Philadelphia is in that mix this year. Dallas is really good. They're all going to find themselves, you know, when it really matters.
Teams you're genuinely surprised whenever they lose.
Yeah,
those are the top three or four. Yeah,
right. But like, do I think the Titans are going to go to Philadelphia and win? Probably not.
Yeah.
But if they did, I'd go, eh, that's this season. That's just kind of where it's
at. It wouldn't be shocking.
No, and especially off a loss, that's a Mike Vrabel special and especially a loss that you could have won this game. You take a couple plays, a couple bad decisions away. I mean, who's to say they don't commit that penalty on that kick? They don't drive it down the field and end up winning the game. I mean, who knows? You know, we'll never know at this point. But
and also, I think it's because of the lack of quarterback play in a lot of instances.
Yeah.
I mean, and this has a lot to do with Brady and Rodgers maybe being a little bit disappointing because there's two such high-profile guys. But I think quarterback play across the board has been down this year, which has led to some more open outcomes from week to week. And maybe, you know, led to the league not being quite as fun to watch a lot of weekends as we've seen in the past. So, no, I'm with you on that, Chase. I think there's something to it. This is a Titans team. The loss today, there's no outcome that would shock me other than the Titans showing up in a game in a big moment where they just play terribly. Because I think the Mike Vrabel MO is when you think they don't have much of a chance or here's going to be the big letdown and a lot of eyeballs are on them, they typically perform pretty well. Toss-up games, you never know. I thought today was kind of a toss-up
Yeah,
in this
too.
Game. You know, it was a 50-50 game. They lose, Cincinnati wins. It's the games against Houston, Jacksonville, some other moments where they really let down. I thought the Giants in week one,
that was
one of those examples, right? So it's really 50-50 week to week. I think the Titans are kind of no different this year.
Yeah, and if you take outside of the Buffalo game to me was the one that, you know, they were never in that game. But Kansas City was close. You like how they played against Kansas City, even though they lost that game.
Had every chance to win,
but if Tannehill's in, then maybe they pull it off.
Yep.
You had a rookie quarterback that I thought did everything you asked him to do. The Giants game, you squandered that, and you should have won. You can say you squandered this today, even though it was back and forth. You know, the Giants game was at least the Titans had the lead the whole way, and then they let them come back.
They squandered the Giants game.
Yeah, so it just showed you.
I felt like they just lost today.
They did.
This is the first game to me that I just watched, and I'm like, you know, they didn't play great, but it just feels like the better team right now won, and they're not that much better. And, oh, the final score showed us that because it was 20-16.
Yeah.
Right? The other ones, the Bills blowout, the squandering of the Giants game. Yeah, today was the first one that just felt, in a weird way, and Titans fans know what I mean by this, it felt right.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it, even though the outcome was a special teams gaffe by the Titans, I leave that game watching and thinking, well, that seems about right. You know, Cincinnati came in here and won a close game.
Right. 615-737-1025. JJ in Pleasant View wants to weigh in on today's game. JJ, welcome in. JJ.
Man, I always enjoy you, Chase.
Yep.
But I was wanting to comment about, I felt like the Bengals, I was disappointed in the play calling because it felt like defensively the Bengals knew what the Titans were going to do in certain situations. And I just was not very happy with Todd Downing and the play calling when you play this team twice in 11 months. And it felt like the same as it did in the playoff game. The Bengals knew what was coming. And thank you.
Thanks for the call, JJ. Appreciate it. I think that's an interesting, because people are going to, when they lose, they're going to go back to the play call. Because there are people that have made up their mind that they want Todd Downing out, want him to be the offensive coordinator anymore. It doesn't matter what happens. But you had the Thursday night game where he called the game of his career. Like, it was the best game he's ever called. Now, we know what happened after the game.
He celebrated.
He celebrated a little too hard.
Yep.
But I feel like that is just kind of the general view of the Titan fan right now of, even if it's a close game and they win, if the offense doesn't look good, it's automatically, well, it's the play calling. And I don't know if that's necessarily right or wrong.
Well, JJ's spot on. I mean, it looks like the Bengals know what they're doing because they do.
Yeah.
Because everyone in the stadium knows that they want to get the ball to Derrick Henry. So what does Cincinnati do? What did they do a year ago? They commit a nickelback, they commit a safety, they commit extra bodies to the run, and they guarantee that we're not going to let Derrick Henry get loose. And they have the personnel defensively to do it. Not every NFL team has that. Some teams you can commit the extra guy and still get beat, a la the Houston Texans. Step right up. That's a team that can commit extra bodies and still lose to Derrick Henry. Cincinnati has the players on defense. They can commit extra guys, and they can win against Derrick Henry. So then what's your counter? This has been my argument all year with the Titans. What is their counter to that? You don't have A.J. Brown. You traded him away.
Yep.
Treylon Burks is looking better. Still not scary. You're not afraid of Treylon Burks breaking the game open.
Probably won't be this
year. I mean, so your counter becomes flea flickers to Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, hoping that Robert Woods gets wide open and something breaks down. There's just not a lot you can go to. And I'm going to bring up the Philadelphia Eagles as an example. They have so many options to beat you on every play. Jalen Hurts can run. They have running backs who can run. They've got Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown that can beat you in the passing game. A year ago, this Titans team was scary going into the playoffs. Why? They had Derrick Henry. They had Ryan Tannehill, who's really good with a good running game and a good defense. And they had A.J. Brown, who could break a game open and could win games for you single-handedly. They don't have that third dimension yet.
Right.
I thought they were starting to get some of that against Green Bay. They showed some of it. They're getting the tight ends involved. Chigakonkwo is a player. I mean, absolutely, a positive coming out of this game in the last few weeks.
He's got to make that catch, too.
Yes, but he is a guy that I am becoming more and more confident in relying upon.
Yeah, I agree.
You can get him the ball, and you can expect good things. But outside of that, you're sort of, you know, wishing on a star and a prayer to hope that the Titans are going to get something going with Treylon Burks or someone else. It's getting a little better in that respect. But to JJ, the caller's point, yes, Cincinnati looks like they know what the Titans are doing, because guess what? They know what the Titans are doing. Everyone knows what they're doing.
We'll take more of your calls coming up next, 615-737-1025. And, Chad, I have a stat on the Jags that will blow your mind. I'll give you that next. We're here on the postgame show live at Margaritaville, the Landshark Bar and Grill, Superbook Lounge on the second floor here on 1025-1063 The Game. Back here, 1025-1063 The Game. Chase McCabe, Chad Withrow of Outkick 360 here with you. It is the postgame show. We're live at Margaritaville, the Landshark Bar and Grill on the second floor in the Superbook Lounge, hanging out. Got here today. We got a great crowd here today hanging out with us. Chad, I mean, we got a VIP.
Chase, everywhere
here.
You go, you bring a cheering section. It's really amazing.
I try.
I mean, they're all here to see you. This is incredible. Great crowd here. Got a lot of Cincinnati fans here. Bengals fans in the house. You can cheer. It's okay.
It's fine.
Now's your time to cheer. Congratulations. Congratulations.
No Giants
fans. I admire the stick-to-itiveness to stay with the beanie, like the winter hat when you get inside, and to not sweat. You, my friend, are my hero, because if I was wearing a hat that hot, I would be covered in sweat right about now indoors. But he's pulling it off well. No sweat at all. Looks calm, cool, and collected. And he should feel good about things.
Well, look,
Cincinnati won.
Rick Merritt, the CEO of Music City Bets, is here. He's got the beanie on.
Yeah.
You know, so he's
another rocking. Man who, like, hides his body temperature well. Right? I mean, it's just a constant. But, like, you look like you're cool still. I mean, you're not. I'd be so hot in one of those things.
Just look
right
at
now.
His back.
That's where the problems arise. Yeah. The sweaty back. He's actually stuck to that chair right now.
Yeah.
Speaking of chairs, these leather chairs
this
in the viewing
awesome.
Area, really, really nice. It's a good setup in here. You can watch every game.
You know that
we'll be talking about every game today, too.
We will. I like to have a little fun in Vegas. I've been known to do that a time or two and sit in a sports book. I mean, this sports book feel is just fantastic. So
it's terrific.
Definitely cool. You need to check it out. 615-737-1025. Andrew in Dover wants to weigh in on the Titans' loss to the Bengals. Andrew, welcome in.
Hey, Chase. Always good to talk to you.
Thanks, man.
In my opinion, the last few weeks, you have Chig and Treylon Burks are stepping out of their shell and actually producing. Why is Downing not setting up more plays for those two?
I think that's a fantastic question, Andrew. Derek Mason on our show has brought it up several times. And, you know, Derek speaks a different language than you or I, you know, when talking about some of this stuff. And he will say it all the time, Chad, you got to scheme guys like Burks open. You know his strengths, play to his strengths. He's learning the playbook. I think he's showing that he has grown into an NFL player, and he's got a ways to go still. But as I said earlier, 6 targets to me is not enough. So you got to scheme more plays for him. To be able to be successful, Chigakonko as well.
So I think the Titans are kind of guilty in their own criticism at times, and it's for this reason. And the caller, I think, brings up an excellent point for this. We're going to sit here and talk about how Treylon Burks is not A.J. Brown. Treylon Burks is not A.J. Brown. Why did you trade away A.J. Brown? He doesn't have the level of production. Then I see him go up and catch that ball today, and I'm thinking, well, maybe he can get to somewhere that's going to approach that by next year, the end of this year, if – and a big if, you continue to feed him the ball and you get him more involved. I watch Chigakonko and think, what's stopping this guy from being a legit weapon in this offense and a legit fear for other teams across the NFL? Athletically, it's nothing. He's got every bit of ability that you want to see. But because the Titans tend to stray away from that at times, it leads to us saying, well, these guys really aren't game breakers. Well, how do we know?
Right.
We're really not going to know until we put a game on them, right? So at some point, you got to come back and say, these are young guys, but we feel confident enough that we're going to design a game plan based around them, or at least with them as a high number two in the game plan. If you're going through the pecking order, here are the priorities for this game against Jacksonville. We're going to feed Derrick Henry. We're also going to get five different looks, 10 yards and past, for Treylon Burks. Or we're going to get Chig Okonkwo four different screens with different designs in this game. Let's see more of that, because while I still am not ready to say these guys are going to be legit game breakers and be a huge difference for the Titans offense this year, I've seen enough to know I want to see more.
Sure.
And that's what we need to see now moving forward is more from these guys, because if the Titans are going to evolve into a team that can win in the playoffs, right now they're a good NFL team that's got a very salty defense and a good run game and a steady quarterback that will lose in the first round whenever they play. That's it. That's who they are. They're going to win a terrible division. They're going to win it with ease, and they'll lose in the first game. They can evolve past that if we see more of what we saw from those guys in the Green Bay game. Tannehill going over 300 yards in that game. Treylon Burks emerging. Okonkwo saw a little bit more of it today. Got to see more of it, though. I'm with the caller on that one.
Here's the other part of this, too. If he's throwing for, you know, 290, 300, somewhere in there, and he's throwing the ball more, I don't have an issue if a quarterback throws an interception. If it's one of those that he's trying to make a play, the receiver's trying to make a play, sometimes the DB makes a better play, and that's just the way it goes. So I don't have an issue if I look at the stat line and he's got a pick or two, but you know that he's trying to make big plays and he's making smart plays, and the DB just makes one too. But it's being scared to allow him to do that, and I think that that's where the Titans are sometimes, is they get too conservative, they get too scared, and therefore this is what the offense is.
Well, and it's if the interceptions happen, and on the flip side of that, you get Ryan Tannehill, who's breaking out of a sack and trying to make a play and is making plays down the field, if that's the reverse of that, I'm okay with it. If you have a quarterback that's dynamic, that he might throw this pick because he's trying to do too much, or he's forcing it to a guy, but he's also going to force it down the field, or he's going to avoid pressure, or he's going to throw a dart across the middle and get a big 3rd-and-12 pickup on the flip side of it, or throw for a touchdown, I'm more okay with that. Tannehill's just not that guy right now. I mean, he's trying to avoid disaster like we saw last year in the playoff game against Cincinnati. But if he can be more of that guy, then I'll be more okay with an interception. You know, a couple, not a bunch.
It's good to see TV's Joe Dubin here. I think he's here for a book signing, maybe, or a motivational speech.
Did he just hide?
He's hiding. He's camera shy.
Well, when you're Joe Dubin, you have to travel with security everywhere. Anyway, yeah. So he doesn't want to be a burden on the venue. So he doesn't want to walk in and say, look, my entourage is here, but I'm going to keep them downstairs.
Right.
Just because I don't want to flood your place with all the security. So it's very actually courteous of him to hide himself right now. So I applaud it.
615-737-1025. Let's go to Daniel, who wants to weigh in on today's game. Daniel, welcome in.
Hey, first thing, Chad, I got to call you out. You've been saying that the Kevin Strong ran into the holder. It's actually the long snapper that he ran into. So just want to clarify you on that. Second thing is, yeah, the offense is very predictable. First down, we have a play in the red zone. I go to Jeff Swain for some reason. Why are we even throwing the ball to Jeff Swain? Why is Jeff Swain even on the field? He's terrible. Agreed. Why are we throwing the ball to him? Terrible, terrible decision. How many times did the Titans run the ball on second down? Second and three, second and four, second and five. We're running the football, and what happens? We're losing yards. Getting no gain, so losing 1 yard. I thought the play call was very predictable. The Bengals knew what we were doing. You can't convert on third down and you go 0-for-3 in the red zone. I mean, that's the difference of the game. You can't cash in the red zone. We were money, you know, with scoring touchdowns in the red zone, and today we weren't. That's the difference in the ball game.
Appreciate it, Danny.
Daniel, I appreciate it. First off, Chase should have called me on that. I have not seen it because I was walking over here when the play happened.
I thought it was long.
And listening to it. And what I heard on what I was listening to was holder, and I saw a tweet saying he ran into the holder. So I appreciate you correcting me, Daniel, if, in fact, it was the long snapper. Thank you for clarifying. And he's right. I mean, if Jeff Swaim, if his chief attribute is he's a great blocker, then
let him block.
Yes. Why the need to target Jeff Swaim? at any point. I don't understand that. You've got Chigakonkwo. You've got Austin Hooper. Those are just tight ends I'm talking about. Chase, during the break, we should make, you know, just a 1 through 8 targets for the Titans. Who you want to go to? Derrick Henry, Dontrell Hilliard, Robert Woods, Treylon Burks, Chigakonkwo. I mean, how far down do you have to go before you get to Jeff Swain in terms of throwing him the ball to try to make a play?
He's pretty far down the list.
I mean, he's honestly, if Taylor Lewan had a healthy knee and was playing, I'd rather see a tackle-eligible pass to Taylor Lewan, who I feel like could do more with the football than Jeff Swain if given the opportunity. So I don't get it. I saw a lot of that on social media with Jeff Swain hate. Not Jeff Swain hate, but throwing the ball to Jeff Swain hate. I get it. I think the caller's spot on with that. I do not understand.
615-737-1025. You can call or text our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Titans fall to the Bengals 20-16 at Nissan Stadium today. They fall to 7-4 on the season, 3-2 at home, and the Bengals improved to 7-4, 4-3 on the road. We'll coming up next, we'll go into the Titans locker room, hear from Bud Dupree, as talk a little bit more about the defense. That's all next here on the postgame show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Some days we don't want to happen. Some that we take pride in. So we got to go back to the basics and, you know, get that back going as well.
How did you feel it? How do you feel now with the hips?
Feeling pretty good. Got to just continue to move forward. Get everybody back on the same page, and we'll be good at the end of the day.
But you all had a lot of success in the pass rush last time you played these guys, getting 9 sacks. What was the difference today, and how hard was it to get to Joe Burrow?
Yeah, we had we had opportunities to get to him, but as you can see, when we did get to him, he kind of escaped out the pocket. Something that he didn't kind of do the last game, and moving forward, you know, we got to make sure that we coordinate our rush as well, and just be ready for those quarterbacks, especially those type of caliber guys, to move around the pocket once they know, and also their scheme as well. You know, they came in with a great scheme to, you know, to block us and eliminate the pass rushers too. So, you know, they're an NFL team, and you know, they get paid to play. So we got to make adjustments, you know, and just dominate in the aspect too.
Were there some moments today where the rush lanes weren't coordinated the way you guys wanted?
A couple times he just kind of made plays. You know, we see a couple times. On me one time, I went inside, I thought I had him, and he escaped out. And that's just part of him making them play. You know, he is Joe Burrow at this point, so you know, we got to continue to, you know, once we get those chances, just to make the plays.
Linebacker Bud Dupree after the 20-16 loss to the Bengals. Back here on the postgame show, Chase McCabe in for Jonathan Hutton today alongside Chad Withrow. We are live at Margaritaville on Broadway, the second floor, the Superbook Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill. It's all presented by Renner's Warehouse, Two Rivers Ford, and Superbook Sports. And Dupree's one of those guys, Chad, that, like, I love when he's available. Like, he can be an effective player. He can be a game wrecker for you, but it's finding those times when he's available.
Availability is the main thing, right? Yeah. I mean, I'm with you. I did think there were times today where, for the first time this year, I've questioned the Titans' defensive front, because Cincinnati was able to run a little too much for my liking at times, and I thought pressure was an issue. This is a defensive front that sacked Joe Burrow 9 times in the playoff game a year ago. I thought there were some guys who were too easily blocked at times for this Titans team. Not that they didn't get pressure all day or any of that. But no, I'm with you. I think Bud Dupree, the Titans cannot be fully formed without Bud Dupree playing.
Yeah.
When he's not there, they do as good a job as anyone, Mike Vrabel, Shane Bowen, of plugging and playing guys on defense and getting good outcomes defensively. But the Titans aren't going to reach any ceiling they have without Bud Dupree. His attitude, his ability, I think is something that this team needs. So, yeah, he needs to be in there and playing. Look, I thought the Titans defense was fine today. I just thought it was an opportunity to win the game for them, and it was not taken in this one.
Yeah, and I'll tell you who they missed today, DeNico Autry. They missed him bad today, and you could tell. I mean, I think Jeffrey Simmons, we know what kind of player he is. He's great. If not for Micah Parsons, he'd probably be in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year. But you missed Danico Autry.
Absolutely.
Big time.
Absolutely. Hey, some scores of, that are going on right now, late afternoon games. Cardinals lead the Chargers 17-14. Raiders up on the Seahawks. Talking about an outcome that makes no sense, Chase. Raiders lead the Seahawks 24-20. A lot of these games now at halftime. Raiders 3-7. Geno Smith and the Seahawks, one of the best stories in the NFL this season, currently losing to a 3-7 Raiders team. We'll see if that holds. Chiefs still lead at 10-3. They are driving at the Rams 14 with 34 seconds left before half in that one. 49ers lead the Saints 10-0, 13 seconds before half. Packers, Eagles tonight on Sunday Night Football.
Riveting. That's going to be riveting.
Riveting, riveting game tonight. You got Aaron Rodgers with a broken thumb trying to throw it around out there, just throwing arm punts out to anyone and everyone against an Eagles team that should roll in that game.
615-737-1025. Let's go back to the phone line. Eric has a question for me. Welcome in, Eric.
Hey, I just, growing up, I'm a huge New England Patriots fan. I just want to kind of know what you guys think of Vrabel bringing in kind of some kind of schemes through Belichick, and also how you guys would feel about a future offensive coordinator for McDaniel. Like, I think he could be a great fit as an O coordinator there. I know things in Oakland aren't going well for him right now, so I just kind of wanted to get your take on that.
All right, appreciate the call, Eric.
Chase, you take this one. I know you said guys, but it was first directed at you.
So here's the thing. The report came out a few weeks ago that I think the Raiders want to fire Josh McDaniels, but they can't because they don't have the money to pay the buyout. Basically pay the buyout is how it would be.
Yes.
And so that's
They are what we call cash poor,
yes,
apparently, to where they cannot pay the buyout. They can't afford it.
So it's pretty much going to be him. They need to learn from Auburn. Just call Auburn and see how they've done it. They're pretty good at buying out coaches and paying those things. So I think Josh McDaniels is a really good offensive coordinator when Tom Brady's his quarterback.
Can you imagine?
So that's kind of where I would leave that.
Can you imagine having the report, though, that your team wants to fire you, but they can't because they don't have enough money? You're reading that thinking, well, that's nice. I'm really wanted here. I guess once they get that money, they can get some donations and they can fire me. I'm with you. I don't lust after offensive coordinators or defensive coordinators in the NFL. I lust after players. That's the difference. You got to have the quarterback. If you have the quarterback, there are many guys across the league that can be a great offensive coordinator if you have the right quarterback. I don't care. There's so much talk about Frank Reich. Hey, would Frank Reich be a good offensive coordinator? Todd Downing has not been good, but Todd Downing has not been dealt a great hand either.
No.
So I don't know that there's someone who could magically come in and make Treylon Burks and Ryan Tannehill the next Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill combination from a couple years ago. You can't recreate that without the players. Now, if you've got great players and you're underperforming, and I think the Raiders are a good example of this, going back to McDaniels, Derek Carr, I watched this game in Nashville here. I was there for the game, and I'm thinking, how is this Raiders team this bad? Darren Waller, Davante Adams, Jacobs, Derek Carr, they're a talented group. McDaniel sucks as a coach. Now, maybe if he was just the offensive coordinator of this team, he'd be better. But I agree with you, Chase. I think that he is a coach that has looked good with Tom Brady as his quarterback.
Yeah, and I mean, did he do okay with Mac Jones? Yeah, I mean, but it wasn't like the success that you saw for all those years, and he's proven that he can't be a head coach. Because I agree with you. I think they have way too much talent to be in the position that they're in Vegas with the Raiders. But I also agree with you, Chad, that we get too caught up in the coordinators when it needs to be the personnel. And that's on John Robinson. That's on the general manager. He hadn't been able to draft a tackle. Now, Nicholas Petit-Frere, all right. I think he's found his right tackle, so I'll give him that one, that he's solid. I don't think he's any going to blow you away, but, I mean, he's done a solid job. But you lose Lewan for the year with the knee. Dennis Daly is basically opening the rope for pass rushers and taking you right to the quarterback. I mean, he's been awful. He's missed on, you know, a couple of different offensive linemen when it comes to the draft that has come back to bite them. So – that's kind of where this is. And, you know, Treylon Burks, you got him, but you also traded away your best receiver and who could have been the best receiver this franchise has ever had.
It's just really easy to blame the coordinator. So yeah. I think for Titans fans and any fan base, it's
and
easy
to
say.
And I blame the coordinator. I blamed it.
We both agree on this. He's not been good. He's been okay at times. He's not been good as an offensive coordinator. Let's start there. But he's not the sole reason the offense doesn't function well at times. So it's easy to point to him and say he's the problem. It's harder as a fan to look in the mirror and say, maybe John Robinson's a big part of the problem. Maybe that's an issue. Maybe he hasn't provided enough talent for the offensive coordinator to do well. I think both those things are true when it comes to the coordinator. I look at the University of Tennessee. You know, a week ago, it's very easy to just blame Tim Banks. It was a terrible plan. The defense was terrible. But then I watched the same defense a week later, and I'm thinking they had less players. They had walk-ons playing, and they shut someone out. Granted, not as good of an offense in Vanderbilt, but that's the players.
Right.
The players deserve a lot of the blame for what happened in South Carolina, and they deserve most of the credit for what happened the next week. I don't think that was some brilliant game plan by Tim Banks that shut out Vandy. I think it was a decent game plan, and it was well executed by players. And I think the week before was a poor game plan that was not well executed by players. Point being, it's both.
Yeah.
You can't just point to one and say, oh, it's all Todd Downing's fault. It's not.
No, it's a collective.
Yes.
That is for sure. We're live today here on
the
to
tie into NIL, by the way. With collective.
Yeah, that was,
it's a collective.
That was good. We'll get Nick Saban's thoughts.
It's all
on that.
Full circle on the show. Full circle.
615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your calls and texts on the Titans 20-16 loss here on the postgame show. We're live at the Landshark Bar and Grill, the Superbook Lounge at Margaritaville on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.